All right, let me confirm. Jed, are you with us?
I am, yep. Made it back.
All righty. All right, you are back and in the house. Thank you to each of you for joining us. This is the Media Bids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for those of you who are in media sales, whether you are selling into print, into your newsletter, into your website, or all three of those. You are in the right spot. Whether your circulation is free or paid or controlled, once again, that's who we serve here within our educational programs that we have hosted for the last 23 years for media leaders around the world. As we're getting settled in, we're always going to encourage you to close your office door, make it easy to listen to the things that we're talking about, and of course, the more notes you make and the more notes you take, the more that we're going to transfer or infuse the knowledge we call the or consider the coaching approach as compared to a more traditional approach. So all that simply means is as you're taking those notes, you're getting a deeper understanding. And as a result of today's educational teleseminar, you'll be able to take the things we talk about today and use them immediately. In addition, while we're rolling along here, if you have any questions for us that you'd like us to tuck into our educational teleseminar, please just hit reply to the confirmation that we sent you, or simply send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. We have lots and lots of questions that that came in prior to, but we'll also field and work with the questions during the course of our educational program. With me is Jed, the founder and CEO of MediaBits. Jed, we've been rolling along for a long time. It's always a pleasure working together with you. Love working with your team. Thank you so much for all your support over all of the years that we've worked together. How about some opening words about MediaBits, what's cooking, what you've got going on, and then I'll say a few opening words about Ernest and Power Hour, and then, boom, we'll launch into our topic today about the essential questions to ask to generate more new sales. So, Jed, the floor is yours.
Thanks, Ernest. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Thanks, Ernest, for really sharing some great insights into his knowledge for all of us. You know, I always learn a lot by listening to Ernest. He has an enormous amount of experience when it comes to publications and advertising. And you know, there's always more to learn. We're always learning here at MediaBids. We're always trying to, you know, try to change, how we can better serve publications, how we can attract different types of advertisers. So these teleseminars play a role in what we do as well, because we always feel like, you know, we have a lot to learn. So one of the ways that we are always trying to adapt is by tracking results and determining what's working in publications and what print readers and what publication readers are responding to. We cater everything we do to try to generate revenue for publications. So if you'd like to learn more, if you'd like to participate at MediaBid, please let us know. There's no cost. If you're already participating, thank you, and would like to talk about your account, please get in touch with us. We're almost always here in Winsted, Connecticut, so we love to talk to publications. So give us a call, and thanks again for all of you who have joined us today.
Beautiful. And, Jed, it's always a pleasure working together with you and your team at MediaBids. For those of you that are joining us that are already working with Jed and MediaBids, you know the work that they provide and the additional revenue and the named advertisers that help you with your advertising footprint. And, in turn, for those of you that have not, please come into MediaBids, contact them, and learn more about them. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I began in the advertising sales industry in 1986, launching three of my own publications. I was a leader and worked with a team for a billion-dollar media group based out of New York, and we launched Power Hour in 1995. I've now coached and guided more than 2,500 advertising sales companies and teams and their leaders in 13 time zones around the world. Over the last 23 years, we had a group just reached out to us from South Africa, which we'd love to also work with. That will be an expansion where in an area that we'd love to do more business with. We provide executive coaching, which simply means we help our clients see what is possible and help them find ways to accomplish the impossible. In other words, with more grace and ease. So the larger the opportunities or the larger the challenges you have on the media side, please let us know. Last but not least, we have our flagship, our Advertising Sales Academy. It happens every single Tuesday. All of the members get an audio message on Monday. They listen to that, and then they come to together with us every Tuesday. But the difference between that and this is that's live, meaning we field your questions real time, both by email and by voice, and we love having you involved. Come into our website, powerhour.com, to learn more. Jed, today we're going to be talking about essential questions which generate more new ad sales. This is our 264 educational program over the last 23 years, and this is one of those that is a signature part of our Tuesday Academy. We have a two-page sheet that we work from, that we help our Academy members with, and I'm going to be touching on some of the highlights of that today. So the first point that we promised to cover is that I wanted us to talk a little bit, Jed, about pre-meeting prep. And in essence, the research and the questions that are key before an advertising sales meeting begins. And as all of you know, today, different than in the past, there are such a wide variety of media options and choices. It used to be, Jed, as you and I well know, in the early days, you could buy an ad in the Yellow Pages, you put a little something in the newspaper, you put out some flyers, word of mouth, and that was it. You didn't have a whole ton of choices. Maybe you added a little direct mail. I know you always, of course, had radio and TV and billboards that were out there depending on your advertising spend. But it was relatively simple. You didn't have an unlimited amount of choices and options like we have today. So that simply means that on some level today, yes, it is true. We are working harder, but we also are working smarter so that we can sort of set ourselves apart from the competitors. Whenever we go into a meeting and we've done our prep, it gives us sort of a plan and a blueprint every single time. Sometimes in our academy on Tuesdays, Jed will say, "You know, don't make me think." And that's shorthand for give me the checklist, give me the plan to organize. This is my renewal checklist. These are my essential questions that I need to ask. Over here, this is my game plan that I'm going to come in and out of that meeting and all the prep that I'm going to do. And we do that so that, A, we're consistent, and, B, we don't have to think about it over and over and over. It makes it simple to achieve excellence, and that's the goal. It also means that we're thoroughly prepared with the pre-questions that we're asking, which gives us confidence. It gives us confidence going into that meeting that I've done my homework. I know what this company is doing. I know what kind of advertising. I know where their weak spots are. I know what they think they're doing or getting, but I also know the truth of what's actually happening. So it sets us apart from the competitor, but it also means that there's no blindsiding. Now, you don't come into a meeting and you're not aware of the digital footprint, or you're not aware of the print ads, or you're not aware of what's happening on the social media side. And that's what we mean by not being blindsided, but having that confidence to know that I'm prepared for the meeting. I know what they may want to cover. I know what I may want to cover, and off we go. A little whisper just related, though, to this. Jed, we bump into this from time to time. You know, we'll come into a sales meeting and a company says, we do it ourselves, or we've got our social media. We know that maybe there has not been a tweet on their Twitter feed for 2 years, or something, or there's been nothing on their Facebook for 6 months. We may know that going into an ad sales meeting, and they may want to tell us how golden it is. But we have to be careful because sometimes it's their daughter that's doing the work, or sometimes it's their sister or their brother or their mother or their uncle or their best friend from college. So we just want to say to you, just be careful that, you know, that given what we're going to talk about today, be careful. There's just a little foundation that says be careful what you say, because you don't always know who is handling what. So be careful and trend easy related to that. So, Jed, let's talk a little bit about the kinds of things that we do in the way of prep. And it's generally tied to a couple of things. Number one, we certainly have our ad drop reports. And our ad drop reports tell us what happens compared to what happens with advertisers in other print mediums. Okay? So our ad drop report is one area that we go to understand. If I want to go talk about Mike's Plumbing or Joe's Pizza or Mary Jones the Realtor, and if I'm tracking that real estate magazine or magazines that I'm competing with in print, then I can see in my ad drop report what's happening with the realtor Mary Jones or that particular brokerage. If I'm looking at their newsletter, if I'm looking at their website, I can do the same analysis in my ad drop report. In addition, if I do the research on the website of that particular realtor or that broker or that plumber or that pizza company, whatever it might be, I may learn some things. I may learn some things under press releases or media or under blogs or under About Us. So I'm going to do my homework on that side, because in order to prepare the next step of questions, I've got to start with the foundation. And assuming that I haven't met with this group or I haven't met with this advertiser, you know, we could be talking everything from a dry cleaner to an automotive dealer to RVs to senior living, whatever it may be, it's the same pitter-patter. You've got to know cold what they're doing, and as best you can, reverse engineer and be able to identify where they're doing their advertising. For example, Jed, if you have a realtor and you take their phone number and you drive that across the internet, you're going to find where their ads are that you didn't even know. Take their email address, take their name, take their company name, and so forth, and you start to get a blueprint of what's happening out there so that you know what essential questions, the topic today, what essential questions you're going to trigger and what you're going to learn about their marketing and advertising or not before you go into that particular meeting. And then the other piece that we have at our fingertips, beside our ad drop reports, beside looking at their website, we have the ability to look at LinkedIn. And we have the ability to look at their social media. We'll talk more about social media and where else they're doing their marketing. But as a starting point, what do these things tell us? For example, how long has this person been with the company? If I'm going in to meet a media buyer, I'd like to know how long they've been there. So if they're making the media buy, it's my job to know up front, right? Where, you know, how long they've been there? What is their current job? What did they do before this? What other companies or organizations do they belong to? These are the kinds of things that we're identifying along the way. And it's part of that pre-meeting prep so that you know, A, I won't be blindsided, B, I can show that I've done my homework, which means I'm not coming in just like any other ad sales or ad selling person. Okay? So that's an important component. And then I also want to, you know, sort of think about, I wonder, is there just one location? Are there many locations? Are they just in my one city or in my state or in my region, or are they national? How does all of that play in as well in terms of our research? And then what about the industry and the sector? What do I know? You know, if I'm in newspaper sales or if I sell for a city magazine or if I'm selling for a business journal, I may not know every vertical. I may not know what's happening with chiropractors versus car dealerships versus RVs versus senior housing. I may not have the pitter-patter, okay? But I'm still going to challenge you, and Jed and I are going to challenge you to know a bit more about those areas, because if that's a category that you either want to sell more or has more potential, then the more industry insights you have, the more valuable that your meeting becomes. You can use their jargon. You know what lines of business or what products or services are more profitable or less. In reverse, if you don't know, you can ask. Okay, these are the kinds of things. But overall, are the trends growing or declining in that particular sector? Another essential question we love to ask in our pre-prep and in our meetings tie into competitors. Tell us a little bit about your direct competitors. What makes them so different? What makes them so difficult? And sometimes just in that simple question, Jed, the amount of information we learn, it can be so unbelievably valuable. Take another piece. You know, where are they actively focusing their company product sales or services? Is it B2B? Is it B2C? These are the kinds of things that we want to understand. Which products or services have the largest revenue or the best profitability? How about the length of time between buying cycles? For example, I always love to use, Jed, our example of RVs. How long does it take someone to go buy an RV that they could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, or a large boat for that matter? You know, these big purchases that are sort of leisure purchases that aren't essentials, how long might I stay engaged once I buy it? You know, how long will I drive it, or how long will I use that boat before I'm ready for another one? You know, how long will I take researching it? How many places will I go? Right? These are all of those variables that we think about. And these are the vital and essential questions that you need to have as prep. And then lastly, we always like to know if there's any acquisitions going on, additional expansions of products and services. It gives us kind of a nice lay of the land when we're preparing for, and we can be more knowledgeable. Jed, I covered a lot in our opening portion here to address this question. Your comments or commentary related to pre-meeting questions and preparation.
Yeah, I think the more you know, the easier it is to overcome objections, right? You know, you know what questions to ask, you know when you're being told sort of a half truth or you're being, you know, kind of steered in the wrong direction, and you can really understand better what sort of follow-up you should offer to any sort of objection you get. I mean, to add to your, you know, if you're selling on a local level, you know, since so many businesses now are franchises or you know, sort of extensions of corporate entities, you know, one thing which I would add to your list of great questions is just, you know, for what's the corporate structure like, right? You know, is if it's a franchise, are there incentives that are given to franchisees to advertise locally? You know, many companies, such as, you know, for example, Subway, you know, they will help local franchisees in some of the expenses that they spend on local media. You know, others don't do anything at all. You know, in other cases, there are companies, for example, like chainsaw companies. You know, they will help local vendors with the expenses of advertising their chainsaws. You know, the more you know about those kinds of rules, the more you can help your potential client overcome them and or understand them, and you know, and the easier it is to get them to spend money with you. You know, a lot of these larger companies, I think sort of create so many rules in an effort to get people not to use the money that's available, but in many cases, you know, it's just a matter of sort of knowing what the rules are, all of which is really available. I mean, it's all kind of public information that is easy to find, but it just takes a little bit of effort.
That is exactly the point, Jed. It does take a little bit of effort. It takes a focused game plan to do the prep. For those of you that asked the question related to, hey, I carry a lot of ad accounts, I have a large prospect base, for some of you, it's a junior salesperson or an inside sales or an admin sales support that does that for you, and they follow the blueprint, then they present it and bring it to you. You obviously approve or make comment, and then boom, you're ready to go. Okay, if you're a smaller or medium media group, then you would need to do this yourself or possibly pay to have somebody just on a contract basis that you might pay for 3 or 5 or, you know, 10 hours in a week, and they may do that for you, because this prep, or some of you, if you're very small, you do this before 8 in the morning, or you do it after 5, or you do it on weekends. Something has to give, because we talk about on our Tuesday Sales Academy buying time and selling time, okay? Your buyers can only buy in the window of time that they're in their offices. You can work on your selling strategies 24/7. Let's field some of the questions. There were so many, and there were such good ones. Let's work our way through some of these, then we'll jump right back to and continue with our essential questions. Marilyn in Massachusetts asks, how do I make even more sales? In fact, it says, how to make sales, how to make more sales, how to make even more sales. Marilyn, thank you for your question. You're in the right spot. Glad you're here. That's what we do every single month. We focus on more ad sales, and I recognize your name, so I know you've been here more than once. Hope, Hope, you're in my hometown in Florida. I'm there about once or twice a year, and I've spent 20 years working in the senior ad sales space, so your questions relate to what is the best best method of getting to a true decision maker. It is a challenge. You've got to work from the site facility level on the senior housing side, and then you've got to bring it up to your corporate decision makers. And especially in that space, the large have gotten larger, so you've got to be smart about how you work from the facility site location, which are more accessible, but what you really need to be working with are the decisions above, and LinkedIn is a masterful strategy for that. It's made it easier than ever before. There's a companion question that Hope has, Jed. How do you answer the question regarding tracking ROI and ad purchase? Jed, you want to just say just a wee little bit about tracking ROI?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so one of the key components of tracking ROI is getting information from your advertisers prior to an ad running, right? You know, because once the ad is run, then it's all just sort of a negotiation for the next time. I think if you can understand the business, and a lot of the questions that Ernest recommended that you ask prior to going into a meeting are really the same kinds of things you want to know if someone says yes, and that is, you know, how much does the product or service that they're selling cost? What's the sales cycle like? You know, do people typically buy the first time they contact the advertiser, or do they buy, or does it take multiple meetings or phone calls for that purchase to happen? What's the lifetime value of a customer? You know, is someone, you know, someone who buys a motorhome, for example, might only buy one motorhome in their lifetime. However, you know, maybe they get service every year. Someone who's buying flowers, for example, might buy flowers, you know, on average 4 or 5 times a year. So it's important to understand the lifetime value of a customer. Not that you need an exact number for it, but just to understand sort of the dynamic that goes on in making a purchase. Because really what you're trying to do with any sort of tracking is to prove to the advertiser that the money that they're spending with you is a good investment, that they're making money from spending with you. And since I think all the people on this call are involved in print, it is really, really important, and it can be very, very fruitful to do this, because one of the advantages that print has going for it is that by and large, people who respond to print end up buying more often and are better customers than almost any other medium. So the result of it is that print, a response from print is worth more. So you can't really get to that point unless you're able to prove what your customers are doing once they've picked up the phone. And that's why, you know, like here at MediaBiz, we track everything. We track every ad we put out. We do tens of thousands of ads a week, and we track every single one of them with either a unique phone number or a unique URL, and we're able to determine exactly what's going on with those customers. So we're able to drive the prices up, right? We're able to demand more from advertisers because the advertisers are seeing good returns. We're able to show them, look, you know, if you're making 50% sales on the calls that we're generating, and the product that you're selling is worth, you know, whatever, you know, $100, then you know, we know that based on the lifetime value of a customer, that, you know, that you should be paying, you know, let's say, you know, you should be paying, you know, 50% more than you were paying a month ago because our close rate is so good. You know, in many cases, as a result of doing this, our customers are paying, you know, they might be paying $1 online for a click or a phone call. They're paying our print publications, you know, 100 times that. Because the close rate is so good. So the volume isn't great, isn't as good anyway. It isn't as strong in print as it is for online or TV or even radio, but the quality is really can't be beat. The quality that comes from print is so good. So as a result, it becomes just so critical for print publications to do that kind of tracking. It can really make all the difference in the world. I'm not sure. Did I cover the question?
No, that's perfect. We are hoping that is helpful for you, Marilyn, as well. Just another quick one. Daniel, who's come to many of our educational teleseminars from New York, asked, how do you define relationship selling versus other type of sales? Great question. If you're selling for Xerox, it's transactional. You come in, and every 2 years, the lease comes up. You either get the new lease or not. This is relationship. We nurture the relationship. We stay engaged. We're connected personally, in some cases, and professionally, meaning we might entertain our clients. We might invite them to something on the social side. We're very much engaged with their professional organizations and associations, and that is a very important part. One last quick one. Max, who comes to almost all of our teleseminars, Jed, in Pennsylvania, asks, how do you get sales staff to know that they must sell a minimum amount each issue? Very simple. That goes into their compensation agreement from the very beginning. When you hired them up front, hello, should have been a blueprint. Blueprint should have been month by month over the course of 24 months showing gold, silver, and bronze performance, and they should know what the expectations are. Every single month you would have a one-on-one to review that performance. Let's shift gears and go back to the second part of what we said we were going to cover here today. Again, we'll continue to field the questions coming in. Simply hit reply to the confirmation that we sent you or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com. So let's talk about the actual ad sales presentation. I mentioned at the beginning that we have a two-page document that our clients who are part of our Ad Sales Academy, every Tuesday they have available at their fingertips, and this is the blueprint. You're going to hear me touch on today a little bit around it and some of the highlights about it in general. But let me talk a little bit about the genesis of where this began. Ever since I've been in sales, Jed, if I went out and made a sales presentation and I didn't close that sale, I'd come back and my sales manager would say, all right, so who did you present to? Boom, Company A. Great. What is the potential in dollars and what is the probability it will close and by when? And I just found that to be a very fluid part. And then in my next meeting, I would add new and I might update my confidence or the amount or I might remove something off. This was considered forecasting. That's been, I don't know, part of my sales vernacular for at least the last three decades. As I began to work with clients in the media sales world, and I would say to them, hey, it's great. I'm so glad you went out to meet with Company X, Y, or Z, or Company ABC. Great. Tell me, what's the potential? I would hear a silence. Or what's the probability that you're going to close them? Well, I don't know, 50-50. Or, well, hang on. And so we started to explore this a little bit, and it caused me to recognize that every single question that we ask, every single essential question that we ask about their advertising campaign, the more that they're willing to tell me, a buyer, the more trust and confidence in me, the closer it is to me getting that sale, and I can raise my probability of getting that sale. So let me explain what that means. If I'm sitting down with a decision maker and I say, hey, look, here's all the prep that I've done, and these are the things I'd like to know. Hey, tell me a little bit more about your print. And they say, hey, listen, we do print advertising. That's a cold response, and that's the extreme of I'm not feeling really good at all about my meeting or the temperature of this meeting. At this moment in time, at this moment, that response, that's cold. And if I had to project the chance of my generating a sale, it's not so good. Now take the opposite approach. Oh, hang on. Let me pull out my budgets. Here, let me walk you through each of the ad sources. Let me tell you a little bit about the results we're getting. Let me tell you about the length of the agreements. Let me tell you about what the spend is. Here, let's go through newsletters. We'll do the same. Here, let's go through web. We'll do the same. Person just laid out a complete blueprint, a lot of which you would have known going in, but they gave you a complete blueprint. And that is the exact opposite. That's where you go, wow, every single thing that I needed to know, I got and more. And based on that, I can forecast that this is going to be a $75,000 sale or a $250,000 sale, and I'm at 90%. Versus the cold response called, yeah, we place ads on the web. Okay? Now,
how are you coming up with sort of the total potential for that?
Sure. Jed, what a fabulous question. Two ways, okay? If I've done my homework, I already know maybe 70 or 80% of what they're doing. I have my ad drop reports that's telling me what they're doing in print, and I've got the matching rate cards. I've got the ad drop of the e-newsletters. I can see whether they're in or not, and I know what they're spending on that. And I've also got the website advertising. And I may not have everything across the web, but I may not have everything dialed in on the newsletters. I may not have everything in print, but I'm going to impress them when they say, well, you know, we do some print advertising. And I'm going to say, well, that's interesting, because based on my research, I see that you're buying this size ad in this magazine. Yes, I am. This and this size in that magazine. Yes, I am. I also noted that you're in these two newsletters. Wow, I'm impressed. I also realized that you're across these 12 websites. Wow, you really did your homework. And we call that give to get. If in the meeting I give them and show them that I've done my homework, then they're more apt to say, wow, you've really done your homework. Hang on. Now let me peel out my budgets. Let me pull out my media plans. And now, Ernest, I'm going to tell you so much more, because you've shown me that you just didn't come in here to schlockily sell me ads hoping that I'd buy, but you actually leaned in and did your research, didn't you? And the answer is yes, I did. And you know why I did that? Because I'm a media professional. And I am different from anybody else. I understand our space and sector. I've done my homework, and I've earned the right to have this meeting with you. So therefore, Jed, I have a maybe 70 or 80%, like in golfing, I'm very close to the pin. Maybe I didn't sink it in, but I'm showing that buyer that I know where the hole is. You follow me?
Right. When you understand that media landscape, right, and you have an idea of what they're spending in other channels, are you thinking to yourself, okay, I want a set percentage of that? Are you thinking like, I assume they're spending $50,000 a year. I want them to spend at least $5,000 with me. Whatever it might be. I mean, do you have a specific percentage in mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first piece is let's just use plumber. Some easy example. I may think I'm going to see Charlie Brown's Plumbing, right? And in my research, it's actually just Charlie Brown's. It's a one site, it's a one location. They've been there for 20 years. I'm going to set my expectation for what I think that buy is. If I go in and I go, huh, that's interesting, tomorrow I'm going to go to Mary's Plumbing, and I think she's just like Charlie Brown's Plumbing, I go, wait a minute. Mary actually has 18 locations. I didn't realize that. So I knew there was one off the highway. Every now and then I would see a billboard, but actually I didn't realize. And then as I went deeper and deeper, I'm going, wait a minute. Charlie Brown, I think, might have been in the range of about 50,000 in media buys, and Mary the plumber is doing 250. So the first part is, it's not about what percent I want. I want to know in my prep what I think the range is of where they are. 50 versus 250 is a big difference. So it's not about what percent I want, but it also tells me sort of the amount of media decisions they're making. Does that make sense, Jed?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's take it one step further. There's two ways to get tucked into a media budget. Let's pretend, I don't care if it's 50 or 250,000, there's two ways. One way says, I'm here, I've done my homework, I see what you've got. Here's my story, and if you like my story, let's talk about a media buy, and I'm going to go down the path of adding new dollars into their budget. They were spending $250, now it's going to be $300, and I'm going to assume they've either got the budget or they're going to pull the money from somewhere else. That's plan A. Plan B is the how can you say no, because I'm going to ask you to keep the same $250. If you can't find that $50, I'm going to say keep the $250, but with your permission, could I show you a media plan, kind of an A-B plan, of what you're currently spending and some small adjustments based on ad size, based on frequency, based on placement that will keep you in all your current media? You've got 12 sources based on what you've told me, print, newsletter, and digital. I will keep all of those sources. I'll come back with a media plan that will show you in a plan B that you'll have all your 12, you'll add me for 13, and you'll not spend $1 more. We'll just go in and do a little tightening up and a little jiggling of that. Would you be open to that? Ad buyer says, wow, that's amazing. In fact, so you can really do a great job. Here, let me give you all the details of my media plan. And you go, oh, boy, all of a sudden I went from 90% success or probability to 100%. This deal is mine as long as I come back and deliver on what I said I was going to do. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah? All right, very good.
Yeah, no,
so
that makes sense.
The very,
yep.
Yeah, okay. So that's the very essence of what the second page of the approach is related to our essential questions. I need to tie in their print advertising, their web, their newsletter, but I also need to make certain that I do my homework. I want to go a little deeper than that. I want to know a little bit about their Facebook advertising. I want to look at their Twitter visibility, blogging, Instagram. I want to take a look at their SEO. I've got some work to do, in other words, tied in to what Jed and I were just talking about. I want to make certain that in 360 degrees, if they're going to blindside me and say, hey, listen, thanks, Ernest, but, you know, we've decided we do this all ourselves in-house. And I'm thinking, go, wait a minute, what do you mean in-house? There hasn't been a post on Facebook in 6 months. There's been not a tweet for 2 years. Like, are you kidding me? But I that's so powerful. I need to be careful how I'm going to address that. Okay? So the essential questions are the big picture questions. If I'm going to talk about Facebook, then I need to drill down. There are 8 specific questions that I want to know about their Facebook advertising. Okay? There are, related to print, 8 specific questions related to their website, 6 specific questions related to web advertising. So the point is that it's not just the area. Try to think about each of their social media channels in conjunction with print, newsletters, and websites. You've got sub-questions to ask. It's got sort of like looking at a compass, north, south, east, and west, but then you've got 2 degrees northwest, and you've got 4 degrees northeast, so you've got to cover all of that in your prep. And again, for those that we've coached and worked with over the years, depending on the size of your organization, for some, you do it yourself before the clock starts in the mornings or at the end of the day or on the weekends. And then for so many of you that we work with and in our Tuesday Academy, we have assistants, even part-time. And then ultimately in our larger media groups, we have teams of people that do all the research and get it all teed up and all lined up, okay? So that's the important part. We want to be prepared with the topical question. It's print. It's the sub-questions and then the responses to those that raise, back to Jed's point, so what is the spend and what is the probability that I'm going to close and get that sale? Very important part. And based on that, that gives us what? A better ability to forecast and project our sales and selling success. Let's pause here, Jed, because we have another set of questions that we'll work and weave in, and then we'll come around the bend and talk about how all of this syncs up to higher success and closing ratios. We have Anita in Alabama that says, and Anita, thank you for the words, how do we counter that print ads aren't dead? I'm just going to start out of the gate that we have article after article, media source after media source that talks about the status of print, the shifts that are being made. You're going to hear from Jed in just a moment, the value of print advertising. Our guidance is that within a media kit and in a media presentation, you want to have those articles. You want to have those quotes. You want to have those excerpts of the value of print and even how print is used by our millennials. And those that are in the 20-somethings and how it's being used in the 50-plus category. There's so much information out there that tells us that even though there's a shift in print, it is by far not dead. And I know, Jed, that you have a lot to share about when you go out and place ads on the digital versus the print and what the impact is, yes?
Yeah, I mean, print has changed, right? There's no doubt that that print has changed from where it was, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. But you know, to Ernest's point, print is still a medium that generates the kind of response that other mediums just can't. You know, more people respond to print, more people buy from print. So in terms of print being dead, I think that it's silly to think that print is dead. I think that what print is different than it was even a decade ago. So but I think that the problem that print has is that unlike any other medium, right? Whether it be, you know, any online medium anyway, every other online medium is designed to show people how their ads are working. And so when someone does Groupon or when someone runs search ads or runs banner ads, they get they get information immediately about how their ad is doing. And that feels really good. So if you're a marketing person and you're sitting there, even at a small company, and assuming that you have a boss, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to show your boss these incredible numbers. Like, look, boss, we spent $10,000 and we got 50,000 people to come to our website. Isn't that wonderful? Right? But that just tells a small fraction of the story, and it kind of goes back around to a lot of the questions that we were talking about when the call first started, and that is that, you know, unless you're going to take into account the return on investment and what a customer is worth and how many sales result in whatever action you're trying to drive, you're really not doing a good job at marketing. And so print is dead if you don't prove to people that it's not. because uh-huh. Most of the cool people who are out there doing marketing right now have long ago forgotten about print. So your job as a print person is to show people over and over and over again that print is working, because that's exactly the kind of information that they're getting from other mediums. We do it through phone calls. We do it through by tracking phone calls, by tracking URLs. You know, I strongly recommend, you know, using a tracking device, whatever works for you or your clients, but use a tracking device so you're able to show your customers, here is what your ad generated. And I will tell you, not to belabor this point, but I will tell you, I will promise you, that once you have that data, it completely changes how you sell. It's no longer a scenario where a lot of the questions, for example, that Ernest, you know, was talking about in terms of preparing for a meeting, you know, those are questions that you hope people ask if you have information. When you have the information and you can say to a guy, to continue to use the example of a mobile home dealer, if you've dealt with a mobile home dealer before, if you have information about how many responses that mobile home dealer got from an ad in your publication, and then you're able to extrapolate, even if it's just hypothetically, how many sales that generated just based on rough numbers of, you know, 20% of the people who actually come out and visit end up buying, whatever it might be, you know, you're able to extrapolate, you know, some big numbers, and you're able to say to that person, we ran an ad for this guy, we generated X number of responses, and as a result of those responses, he generated, you know, $300,000 in sales. When you can do that, it doesn't matter what you're selling. Because I think that's the most important thing, the most important evolution that I think advertisers have gone through, is that no one has allegiance to print. No one has allegiance to Google. No one likes Google, right? No one likes Groupon. They're just going to do what they think is going to make them money. And so if you can show them that you're going to make them money, then believe me, print isn't dead. And it doesn't matter if you're printing on a, you know, on toilet paper or on your, you know, or on the greatest, you know, the greatest stock available. You know, if what you're doing works, advertisers will, and you can prove it to them, then advertisers will do it.
Absolutely. So. And that's really the very essence of what we're covering here today. So hopefully that is helpful. Anita, thank you so much for your question from Alabama. Rachel asks, how do you ask what's holding a buyer back without sounding pushy? A great question. It's exactly what we're doing here, Rachel, by asking the essential questions, by showing the preparation that you've done in the pre-meeting, by showing the research you've done related to their social media and their current media spend and strategies. It's a classic give to get, okay, that you can say, hey, listen, it's part of my research. Here's what I observed. Here's what I'm aware of, or here's what I'm estimating your spend is. Do I have it about right? then that gives you the opportunity to open up that conversation. There's going to be more trust there and less pushing back or being pushy. The other side of that is that we call that staying in the know. It's one of our Tuesday Academy principles. Staying in the know means when they say, gee, I'm not going to buy, or I'm not ready now, or I'm not sure if I'm going to, at that moment, you're getting a no. Okay, and a junior salesperson will say, gee, okay, thanks, I'll call back next week, I hope you'll change your mind, or I'll call back next month and maybe you'll, you know, have a different point of view. But that's not the case. When given a no, we stay right there and we say, gee, I'm sorry you're not ready at this moment, or gee, I'm sorry that you're not going to go forward. Can you just tell me a little bit more about how you came to that decision, or what else I could do to improve my media approach? At that moment, the things they begin to tell you on the other side of that, actually, sometimes it's just perception. They might perceive that you're quarterly and you're not, or they might perceive that you're paid versus free, or they might perceive they've confused you with a competitor. We go on and on and on with the things that come from the other side of once you get a no. But if you don't know why they're giving you a no, then it's a double loss. A, you took the loss, and B, you didn't learn anything else. You might learn about a competitor. Hey, a competitor's coming in to do X, Y, or Z, which you had no idea. All right. So those are the things, Rachel, that that we suggest on that. June, you've been coming to our teleseminars. June has been joining us for years and years and years. I recognize her name. She asks, what's the best way to ask for their budget? Best way is exactly what we talked about here. Even if you get 70 or 80%, if you can show an advertiser and a prospective buyer that you've done your homework, they'll fill in the gaps. Wow, you really done your homework. Here, let me pull it out. Actually, you missed this one, or this one's a little higher, or that one's a little lower, or this one, oh, okay, great. And that helps me, because then I'm going to come back and show you plan B, how you can keep all of your current campaign, but tuck me in. So instead of having 12 media paths or channels and you're spending $250,000, you'll still do $250,000, but now you're going to add to number 13. You'll spend nothing new with me, and we've done entire teleseminars on that as well. So, June, it's an excellent question from that perspective. Let's take one more. Let's see. John in New York. I think John is John's in the fishing space, Jed, and he writes, let's see, he has two questions I wanted to see. How do I convince a prospect to buy advertising when from the start they state that they are comfortable doing what they are doing while expressing no interest? John, we just addressed that piece. If they say they're comfortable with their 12 paths, great, and you say, if I keep the 12 for you, keep the same budget and tuck me in as the 13th, would you be okay with that? John, that's exactly how you handle that, word for word. There's a second part of the question, Jed, that we should address. How would you recommend dealing with a prospect who states all of our advertising budget is going towards the Internet when it's both Internet and print? I want to sell them. You want to take that one, Jed?
I think that the budget objection is just baloney. I think that really what they're saying is, I don't really believe I'm going to make any money by spending money with you, and that's what, you know, that's essentially what they're saying. They're saying it's not. I have yet to meet the company who says, if we give you $100 and get $110 back, we have no interest in doing that. Budgets in today's day and age are not nearly what they used to be in terms of their rigidity. You know, I think that there used to be where most companies were setting a budget at the beginning of the year. They were deciding what they were going to spend on television, radio, print. And at the end of the year, they would make some determination about what was working based primarily on price, right? Based primarily on what kind of deals they could get from you for the next year. You know, in today's world, the idea that someone is going to set a budget for the next year or even the next quarter is really crazy, right? I deal with some really big companies, and even they don't have set budgets. They have kind of rough ideas. But if Google isn't working for them, they will they will reduce their budget overnight by 90%. If Facebook is doing something new and it is working for them, they will throw more and more money into Facebook. If what we're doing is working well, they want us to increase the amount we're spending, triple it, you know, within a week. I mean, so the idea that there's a set budget and one number, I think that in most cases is really just them telling you that I'm not convinced that you're going to make us money. And so if you're able to convince them that you're going to make them money, I have a strong suspicion that a lot of those budgets would become a lot more flexible.
Yeah, and two additional comments back right to Jed's point. Number one, companies have a sandwich. They've got their revenue at the top. They've got their profitability in the middle. At the bottom. And in the middle are those decisions. There's a sandwich there of decisions that they can move things around. Here's the counterpoint to budget as well, Jed, exactly to what you're saying. If every company built their marketing and advertising based on their budget, think about how many of your current advertisers call you in September and October, the classic budget season, call you in that window of time and ask you what the renewal rate is, when does my agreement expire, and what is the new rate? And in the most pedestrian of ways, Jed, I remember building budgets. My Yellow Pages would expire in June, and you'd call the ad rep and say, look, I'm spending $100. What's my budget going to go? It's going to go up 4%. Okay, so $104, yes, and for the same size ad, yes, and I'll start in July. Great, and my budget said $100 January through June, and then July said $104. Those are the old days of truly tight budgeting to exactly the media source. You knew when your current rate and your renewal was up, and you went plugged right in. So when we say that to our ad sales clients, how many, therefore, using that sort of old school model, how many of your current advertisers actually call you in September and October to ask you about the renewal, the new rate, and when that starts, and there's a silence, and they go, like, none. That's what we're saying about the budget season and the budget cycle, is that it's not as rigid as it used to be. And, Jed, I think that sort of concurs with what you just said related to if things are working, they're all in, and if they're not, they can be immediately all out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's 100% true, because when you go back to the days of really strict budgets, right? Those were days, and I know that smart advertisers, even 20 years ago, were doing some sort of tracking on the money they were spending. But by and large, speaking in generalities, the idea of results as they pertain to ads was much more foreign, and not nearly as many advertisers did it. So it really was just sort of throwing money out there, hoping it worked, and you wouldn't really know until you looked at your bottom line at the end of the year.
You bet. So,
whereas
John,
today,
we're hoping that is
different.
Yep, that's right. So, John, we're hoping that that's helpful for you. I think this may be your first Media Bids Power Hour that you've joined, so hopefully that's helpful. And then last but not least, Pamela in Ohio asks, what can I do to support my sales reps in preparation for client meetings? Pamela, you're in the right spot. Have them listen to what we're doing here. And then we have 200-plus hours of educational opportunities like this that you can listen to at our website, so you're in the right place. Let's come around the bend. We want to be respectful of your busy days. We start at the top of the hour. We end at the top of the hour. And let's just say a few closing words about the essential questions, okay? Recognize that the questions that we want to be asking and the questions that we want to be learning from our advertisers and our prospective advertisers is an ongoing journey. So that in an initial phone call, you might learn 6 things. In a meeting, you might learn 12 things. In a follow-up email, you might learn 4 more. You know, it's a process, okay? There's no microwave solution, and we say this, Jed, to our Academy members every Tuesday. It's a journey, but that journey is ever-evolving. It's kind of like a snowball, Jed, that it just, you know, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. As you build a relationship and you learn more and more about their needs, about their focus on B2B versus B2C, the various products and services, what advertising has been working, what's not, how that compares to competitors, the deeper and deeper you build that relationship, that snowball gets larger and larger and larger. With selling new ads and selling new advertising, you're trying to create the same momentum. You're trying to understand initially how to start with a snowball that's the size of your hand, you know, which then goes on to be the size of a basketball, which then goes on to be the size of an elephant. You know, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger over time. And that's the very essence of building trust and being a sales professional in the media sales space. So it's a journey. Build on it. And the essence of that is, so how do you gain that data? Well, as you're asking those questions, you're doing what? You're making notes. You're writing it down so that the next meeting you're not going to be redundant. And in the next meeting, you know that you really haven't gone down the path of what else they're doing on the social media, or how did that direct mail campaign, or what are they doing in terms of referrals, or did they buy billboards and what was the impact? Whatever it might be, you've got to be the purveyor of the expert related to that. So that's the key point tied to that. There are a couple of other things beyond, you know, just writing it down. It's also a reminder that you want to circle back in a meeting. Let me circle back. You know, Jed, you mentioned you were doing something with an e-newsletter, but was that recent or was that in the past? Hey, let me circle back, Jed. At the beginning of our meeting, you mentioned that you were getting a number of calls, but I didn't hear exactly how you're tracking the number of calls from that particular ad source. Can we go back down that path? So by circling back around, it again shows that advertising buyer that you're a pro, that you really want to punctuate and put a period at the end of every sentence, that you want to be that thorough in your approach from that perspective, okay? And then last but not least, hey, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process. This is relationship selling. When you build good relationships and you deliver, as you heard Jed say, hey, look, we work with large advertisers, but there's the other part of that. They have wonderful relationships. There's a trust. There's a performance. There's a expectation. They can count on Jed and the MediaBits team to deliver on their promises too. So that's the very essence of a relationship is. The beautiful part, let's call out the distinction. If I am selling for Xerox and I am selling copiers, I'm going to come in and out every 2 years, see you, you're going to buy or not. At the end of the 2 years and I'm gone again, that means every single day I need what? New sales, new transactions, new opportunities. In our world, if we do a good job, those relationships and those ads and the ad spend will be with us for the next 10 years. Lifetime value, you heard Jed mention that. Lifetime value and the commissions and the profitability that comes from that, it's all there for you. So it's worth developing these relationships. It's worth asking these essential questions and being prepared going into the meetings and then knowing exactly the questions that you're going to ask in the meetings itself. Jed, before we pause, how about some closing words before we wrap up for this MediaBids teleseminar?
Yeah, I think, you know, I agree with everything your recap, and I would also just add that it also makes it a lot more fun. You know, it's more fun to be knowledgeable about the people you're selling to. But you know, thanks Ernest for bringing all these topics up. Many of them are great ideas and things that I haven't thought of in years, and so I appreciate it. I hope everyone enjoyed it. And if you'd like to learn more about MediaBids, please get in contact with us. And we hope to have you join us again next month.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jed. Always a pleasure. Take a look at the MediaBids site. If you haven't or not working with them, you'll love their approach. And then take a look at our site, powerhour.com, which is where our site has sat for the last 23 years. We'd love to talk to you about your media sales and, of course, your work and your team. Jed, thank you so much. We'll be back with each of you and all of you next month. Next month, we're going to talk about leading and leadership. So stay tuned. We've got lots to cover. Jed, looking forward to next month already. Take care.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone.